Well, we're 2 days away from the election. Who would love to have two more weeks of this instead of just 2 days? Anybody? Everybody's shaking their head no. I suspect that may mean that you're a little bit aggravated and frustrated, maybe even angry, tired of the continuous barrage of calls. Anybody been getting any calls on their cell phones or have your mailbox full of mailers? Vote for me. And of course, we have quite a number of signs, and the news has been a bit repetitive, has it not? I mean, there's been nothing new in the news. It's been the same verbiage, more extreme, but it's been repeated over and over again. And it's easy to get kind of caught up in the loudness of the world that we have here. Would you give me the next slide? We're going to be covering the Psalm 62, which I found to be a very interesting slide because our psalm, it talks about a number of things, and it shifts its perspective. We're going to start off with David kind of talking to himself, and then he's going to talk to the people that are against him and causing him his aggravation and his fear. And then we'll have some other viewpoints of this. But what's nice about it is it's just expressing kind of what we feel. And that's what comes about. We're dealing with the loudness of the world. But what he says, truly my soul silently waits for God. Silently waits. Well, if you're silently waiting, what are you doing with all the loudness going on? All the calls, the mailers, you're pushing those out. If we're doing what we're supposed to be, we're focusing more on God. And we're not listening to the nonsense. And it is nonsense because what comes from God is true. What comes from all the other things is a whole lot of lies, a whole lot of half-lies, which... Tommy Smith would say, a half lie is a whole truth. A half truth is a whole lie. I'll get it in a minute. I've been studying speech with one of our candidates, I think. But we're waiting for our God. We're not rushing, and that's a single purpose when you're waiting. From him comes my salvation. It's not going to come from any other spot. I don't care how many promises, how many plans. It's going to come from God. God is the source of our salvation. And he is the one we need to focus on. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. This is a Psalm of David. David spent a good chunk of his life, maybe not a big chunk, because a big chunk of his life was mainly being king. But he was kind of on the move. Saul did not want him to keep living. And what were the places that he hid? In the rocks. He knew how to make use of the terrain. You know, we've read in the about the kings where Saul was going on one side of the mountain and David was on the other, making use of those rocks to hide, making use of the mountains for defense. And God is our source of that defense. And in that last sentence there, I shall not be moved greatly. That's kind of an interesting word. I will not be moved greatly. If a ship is at anchor, it will move a little bit, but it ain't going to move a whole lot, I hope. Otherwise, you lose your boat, don't you, John? Have you ever lost your boat by losing your anchor? Close. There was a statement that was made by Meyer. This is why God keeps you waiting. All that is of self and nature must be silenced. One voice after another ceased to boast. In other words, shut out all those things that are going around. One light after another be put out until the soul is shut up to God alone. And waiting, a lot of people think, well, that's doing nothing. It's not doing nothing. It's focusing on God and blocking out everything else. And I don't know how y'all are, but it takes some concentration to block out everything else that's coming in at you. You have to really narrow down your focus so you're only looking at one thing. But that this particular verses is David kind of talking to himself or setting out his objectives. In the next slide, in verses 3 and 4, he is speaking to his enemies. He's speaking to those things that are coming against him. This is his assessment of his enemies. How long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you. You know, why are you coming against me? Why is he saying these particular words, you shall be slain, all of you? He's telling them what God is going to do. Remember, God is his refuge, his rock, his defense. And these people that come against him, they're going to lose. And he's pointing that out. Like a leaning wall or a tottering fence. We've seen an awful lot of tottering fences, particularly starting about 2 years ago. Those that weren't knocked down were just barely standing after Michael came through. But they are truly just a leaning wall. We may see them as big, impressive giants. But because we have a God that loves us, that is our protector, that is our defense, they are really a false wall, a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Our lies, our enemies are always plotting against us. We've seen more plotting and more attacks against Christianity probably in the past month than I would ever have imagined possible. We have seen somebody attacked for their faith. You know, whether you feel that she should have been approved or not, you should not attack somebody for their faith in Christ. That's what was founding on our country, was freedom of religion. And yet that was being treated as something bad. And I never thought I would ever see that in this country. These lies that are told are bad enough. But I think we're seeing something that occurs in that middle of verse 4 there. They delight in lies. People are telling lies and they know they're wrong. But they're going ahead with them anyway. Because, well, it'll make me appear better into the people that I care about. This makes me think this is a very good time for the 60-second psalm, because we are seeing this occur. And if we focus on the world, if we listen to the world, we will forget that God is there to take care of us. Next slide. I'm having to ask a thing because I can't remember to talk and punch this button at the same time, so I'm having Scott switch the slides for me. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. Now, one of the key words here is alone. Who else is he saying? That there is no God plus something else. God plus the government. God plus somebody else. My focus, my refuge, my protection needs to be in God alone. And that's where I need to wait for Him. Wait silently for God alone. For my expectation is from Him. Wednesday night, we do have, by the way, a Wednesday night, we're still meeting by Zoom for right now and for the near future. And we talked about 1 Kings 17. Now, 1 Kings 17 is one of the really fun, action-packed chapters in the Bible. It's about Elijah. I'm sure we're all familiar with it. He basically starts off by telling King Ahab, hey, it's not going to rain except at my word from here on. Now, if you tell the king that it's not going to rain because you said so, that will not put you in good standing with the king. But throughout, and it didn't put him in good standing, by the way, but we see throughout this chapter that God provided for Elijah. And He provided in different ways. He was his protector. Now, the first thing that God told Elijah after He had told the king that, He told him to get out of Dodge. Leave, run, go to the stream somewhere and hide. So he preserved his life there. And once he got to the stream, he needed food and water. Well, the stream was flowing with water, and the ravens brought him food. God did the providing by means of nature. And then when the stream dried up, God again provided for him. God protected him. Said, go to this widow, and she will feed you. Well, a widow with no resources, she was gathering up sticks for her final meal where she and her son were going to die. And God said, okay, you're going to provide the food for Elijah. God doesn't work the way we think. Boy, we'd schedule. You know, we'd probably schedule Elijah, go to one of the well-off people in town that has a bunch of food and a bunch of other stuff. God has a different way. So that such that you know that it's God doing the providing. And God's the one that you're depending on. And not only did He provide for Elijah, He provided for the widow. The widow's, you'll remember in that one chapter, the widow's son quit breathing. Well, God had provided for the widow because God had provided Elijah to raise the son and give her back. God does provide. He protects us. And the waiting is truly not just doing nothing. It is focusing on God. Next slide, please. I'm kind of into checklists, steps. I kind of like it because it keeps you from forgetting stuff if you can. And in this particular verse, verse 8, He gives us three simple steps. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Now, this is another shift. Remember, you know, David had to start talking to himself, talking to his enemies, and now he's laying out the plan. Trust in God. Trust in Him not as a last resort. That's the way we kind of usually do it, in all honesty. When we run out of every other thing, okay, I'm going to have trust in God now. And we need to be trusting in Him at all times. The second thing, pour out your heart. You might as well tell the Lord what you're feeling and what you're thinking. He knows already. Doesn't do a whole lot of good to say things bad about God because, one, they aren't true. What we need to, when we're starting to pour out our heart, we need to speak what is true. Well, I can tell you what my true feelings are because I'm feeling them. And we see that occurring. But we also need to speak about who God is And where we're going to find out who God is in the Bible, so we need to speak Bible words. What does God say who He is? And that's what we need to speak forth, in addition to speaking how we feel. We need to speak anything that agrees with God's word and about what and who He says He is. God is a refuge. Now, this picture that's over here is a picture of Tower of Refuge. Now, this is a... I Googled trying to find a picture of refuge. And I found this, and this was quite interesting. This Tower of Refuge is St. Mary's Isle. It is located between England and Ireland in a particularly bad spot for shipping. A lot of ships go on the rocks. And so this little bitty structure, or this structure, it looks bigger than I think it is, was built as a refuge for those that had their ships break up. They could make it to the refuge. There were provisions there. There was a bell there so that they could, you know, call for help. It was a provision in the event they ran into difficulty. You know, our God is like that, waiting there for our need. He will be there for our provision. And I guess ringing the bell would correspond to pouring out your heart. Hey, I need some help. Next slide, please. Surely men of low degree, and again we're shifting, another shift in this psalm. Surely men of low degree are a vapor, men of high degree a lie. If they are weighed on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. We have a whole lot of people that are in high places telling us they're going to take care of us, but we don't count on people doing that. High-standing people are frequently standing for themselves, but and it's not necessarily the smartest person. I think one of my assignments was to the Naval Research Laboratory. And John, I appreciate your PhD, and I'm glad that you're grounded in common sense to the greatest extent. I mean, it's wonderful. The Naval Research Lab in Washington, D.C. is located actually in the district itself, actually. And one of the components of the Naval Research Lab is pretty theoretical and elaborate. And I saw one of the PhDs walking into our building that we had there, and it kind of took my breath away. He was wearing sandals with socks. Now, I realize that's maybe a fashion faux pas. I really don't know. But there was snow on the ground. I said, well, I guess common sense doesn't necessarily go with the degree, but it kind of shook my confidence in some of his abilities. Do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. And these two verses, your refuge is not riches, whether they're ill-gotten, such as the oppression or robbery, or whether they were earned or however they were acquired. Don't trust them. Regardless of how they were acquired, they aren't worthy of being trusted in. God has spoken once. Twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Also to you, Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his work. Now, we ordinarily think of rendering according to his work as rewards for doing good and penalties for doing bad. This is more of an emphasis on doing good, because to you, O Lord, belongs mercy. He loves us. He cares for us. And the world may reject what our good acts are when we're trying to do well. But God appreciates it. God will, in fact, reward us for that. We can count on it because He says so. To You, O Lord, belongs mercy, love, for You render to each according to His work. So I'm sorry I didn't talk a lot longer, but I've heard it said there's no such thing as a sermon that's bad if it's short. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I thank You for this time that we have been together. We lift up to You the pastor for healing. We pray for Max's mom for healing and complete healing. I thank You for the good report that Helen went through as she went through her heart catheter and then the subsequent stent that was put in. We lift up to You all the families that that couldn't be here today. In this mass of confusion that we're encountering here in this time of year, we've certainly had a very interesting year that as we've gone through. Lots of confusion, lots of distraction. But help us to focus on You. Help us to wait on You, knowing that You love us. You will protect us. You will provide for us. You are our refuge. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.